Mark Simone, W Music Radio. ABC.
7:15, it's Saturday night, it's Mark Simone, 77 WABC. Now normally we play a lot of music on this oldies show, but we're going to stop the music for a few moments. Stop all the music, and for good reason. Let me just play a jingle or two.
Cousin Brucey.
Cousin
Brucey.
Brucey.
He's our
Cousin Brucey.
WABC.
Cousin Brucey.
Bruce Morrow.
Happiness is a thing called
Cousin Brucey.
WABC. Cousin Bruce Morrow.
Well, he's on the line right now, ladies and gentlemen. I don't even know if we'd be here if it wasn't for this guy. I mean, if anybody helped build this station into the legend that it became, it's this radio phenomenon for decades on end. And really, he needs no introduction. Cousin Brucey, how are you?
I'm fine. You know, Mark, you and I both know, my cousin, that we all need introductions.
What?
You know, I'll see, want to hear a funny story? Tell you a funny story. A very, very big announcer, his name is Ed Herlihy. Now, Ed Herlihy was probably one of the preeminent announcers of its day. He was Mr. Conductor on the Children's Hour when Cousin Brucey was growing up.
He did the Kraft Music Hall.
Yeah. I mean, this guy was really aces. So one day, I'm doing a performance, and he's one of the guests. We're doing some kind of a redo on a mystery theater, which was a lot of fun. And he was the announcer. It was in a sanctum or something like that. And I said, well, ladies and gentlemen, I just want to introduce somebody. I said, nah, you know, he doesn't need any introduction. Well, let me tell you something. After the show was over, he laced it into me, and I never forgot it. I mean, he beat me up, and he was really offended.
Well,
so, but I'm not offended.
Well,
that's a true story. So we all need introductions.
Well, let me explain something to you. There's nobody who doesn't know who you are and has followed you for years, and Ed Herlihy definitely needed an introduction.
Okay. I'll take it from you, Mark.
But it's like when I explain to somebody who Frank Sinatra is. I think anybody who owns a radio knows who you are. And, you know, I've walked around with you, and the street people flock to you. They come up to you. You're like a Pied Piper.
Well, I'm a very lucky guy, Mark. I think we both are. We both found our level, you know, in the great ocean, and we both found very early in life what we love the most. And you know something, Mark? When you love something, when you love what you're doing, like you and I, you can't miss.
Yeah.
You can't miss it. If you have the energy and you say, I'm not gonna stop, you can't miss. And, you know, people know that. People are very intuitive. You know, sometimes people in our business seem to sell our audience a little short. And these people are intuitive, they're very intelligent, and they know what they want. They know what they like. So I'm a lucky guy.
But,
I really am.
To a kid like me who wanted to be on WABC, you know, all of us, we would copy everybody. We would try to copy this guy's voice, the way this guy talked. But with you, we couldn't even figure it out. It was like you had some kind of magic that... Did you even know what it was that you
Absolutely
did?
Not. I would not. I'd be lying to you. Let me tell you, Mark, in those days when we were really starting to find the level, none of us knew what we were doing. And like I always like to say, Cousin Mark, we were flying by the seat of our pants. But you know what the difference was? The difference was that the guys upstairs in the ivory towers, the business guys, the guys that count the beans, left us alone. They let us dream, and they let us take our chances and make our mistakes. And we all learned from it. Until the radio business became the business of radio, that's when things started changing, Mark. And that's when they said, all right, let's corral these guys in. And that's when the dreaming stopped.
Well, and then, of course, you got the 70s, 80s, 90s, where absolutely nothing creative happened anymore.
No, well, that's it. They stopped. It became a business, Mark. And, you know, what we do is a very creative thing. I call it theater. I always believe that it's theater of the mind. I still practice theater. When I go on the air, I don't go on the air. The curtain goes up. The lights go on, and my friends are all with me. Yeah. And that's what that's the way I feel today. I mean, every time I go on the air, I feel that the curtain is going up, and I'm in a room with all my friends.
See, that's the other reason, guys like me, we could never copy you, because you're the same guy off the air. It's not an act. It's
no. I know. Maybe that's the secret, but maybe it's not a secret. I don't want to know about it. Whatever it is, I'm still having the greatest time of my life.
Well, now, we're talking with Cousin Brucey, obviously. Now, you owned a lot of radio stations. You were an owner at one time. So did that ever make you understand what these executive guys went through trying to lay down laws and rules?
Absolutely. You know, one day I became Cousin Brucey, president By the time we were through, we owned over 80 radio stations and a very major TV station. So here I am sitting at a desk, you know, and I'm saying to myself, oh, my God, I'm turning into one of those guys and wearing a tie and a suit. So I stopped that. And then when these poor kids would come in, the guys that went on the air, the radio personalities, notice I never say disc jockey, Mark, yeah, as you know. These kids would come in to me, these young people, and they'd try to pull one over on me, and I'd look them in the eye, and it's happened a dozen times, and I say, Sonny, let me tell you something. Don't BS me. I invented what you're talking about. You know, so these poor kids, you know, I didn't love being an executive. You know, every time we owned a radio station, and Bob Sullivan and I owned, by the time we were through, over 80 of them, I used to fly with him. We had our little plane and a helicopter, and I'd fly almost every day to another station so I can go on the air.
Yeah.
Because with all the success, I still miss my microphones. I really do. I miss my microphone. So I had to go on every station. And it was fun. I had a good time. So I sort of mixed the blend between executive Cousin Brucey and the real Cousin Brucey.
So when you worked for guys, you know, as well as CBS FM or wherever, a guy would try to tell you something as the executive, you'd had his job and your job. You knew more than he did.
Yeah, but that's why I've been very lucky. I think with the basic training I got, and I got to thank, very honestly, I got to thank WABC, WA Beatles Steve for that, because they really let me fly and they let me dream. And we had, you know, guys like Rick Sklar and people like that that really let us fly until, I guess, I can almost name the year about 67, 68 when things started changing.
Really? That early?
Yeah. Well, yeah, the business, you know, I started making a lot of money. When you start making a lot of money, I guess you get a little bit gun-shy.
Oh, I think
you start pulling in the reins.
I thought you were going to say 71, 72 is when you started.
Well, it could be. Everything's getting fuzzy now.
Yeah. So, but you actually left WABC. What a gamble that was.
Well, it was more than my left. It's more than when I left. It was a terrible, terrible, terrible thing that happened. It was like the end of an era. They were changing. The contract was getting over. I don't know if you've read my book.
Oh, a couple times.
Well, in that book, it talks about what they try to do, once again, the business guys, they try to, and I'm going back a little bit with this, and you can tell me when I should stop, because it gets a little complicated, but what it is, they try to tie our remuneration, our pay, to ratings.
Yeah.
Now, that offended me terribly, because I put so many years into the building of that radio station, and really, to this day, I don't have to tell you, you're on, right? That radio station is still, to this day, the foundation of contemporary radio. No matter what WABC is doing, and they're doing a great job with their talk, and I'm so happy to see you on the thing, it still is remembered as the foundation, the building block of music radio. No matter what they do, it's there. So they did a very smart thing, Phil and Tim and everybody.
Yeah,
and I got very offended, and I said to him, all right, I'll go along with this. Meanwhile, over at WNBC, they were starting to talk to me, which was not a very moral and ethical thing to do, but we were meeting, I remember, in subterranean restaurants. Because they had Wolfman Jack there, and it wasn't working in New York. It did. Well, he was never a New York guy.
Wasn't working. You killed the guy.
Yeah, well, he tried to kill me, literally. Remember, there's a funny picture, and I'm sure that somewhere in the files up there that they delivered a 6-foot tombstone.
Yeah.
Cousin Brucey's days are numbered. They buried me. They left it there. And there's a picture of one of the ABC, WABC guards scratching his head, wondering what to do with this thing. So they tried to bury me. So I left. I thought that was wrong. I was talking to NBC, and I started with NBC, and that lasted a little while. NBC was never really committed to what we wanted to do. And then the rest, you know, I just kept on going, and I found my partner, Bob Silliman, and he and I built this kind of, I guess you can say, radio empire. And today, I'll tell you, Mark, right now, I'm the happiest, I guess, I've ever been in my career.
Now, you always seem like the happiest guy in the world. Is that real?
I mean, it is, yeah. I mean, I'm not going to kid you. I have my moments. I have some down moments. I get a little crazy, a little depressed. I mean, you can ask my wife, Jody, about that. I mean, you know, I'm like everybody else.
Yeah.
But normally, I'm a very happy guy normally because I've achieved what I want. I'm able to give back now to my charities. I run a charity that you're going to be on soon. We're doing our 21st telethon, Mark, and it's called Variety, the children's charity.
Yeah,
this is one of these organizations that the money really goes to the kids.
It should be pointed out, you don't just show up and MC a telethon. You really do all the work behind it.
I've been planning this and producing this now for the last 6 months, and
it
really takes its toll. And then we got a radiothon coming up, and I'm trying to give back. I owe the public, I owe the audience, and I really, as corny as that sounds, I really mean that from the bottom of my heart.
Well, in the weeks,
I love what I do.
Yeah, in the weeks to come, we'll talk about the telethon and radiothon because we want everybody listening to be a big part of that this year as they are every year.
Listen, can we mention what I'm doing now?
Sure, go ahead.
All right, because I'm sure that's okay. When CBS FM pulled their plug and did that foolish, nonsensical stupidity without realizing what they were doing to our culture, and that's what it was, that station became, like the WABC, became part of the culture of this great area.
Well, let me ask you for 1 second. Out of all your years in radio, that was probably the silliest decision you've ever seen, wasn't it?
Absolutely. I've never, in my years of broadcasting, ever thought I would live to see somebody do something so stupid. And that's what they did. I mean, they're still paying for it. I mean, they're down in the basement. The basement is not enough, because I don't think it's over yet, because the audience will never... You know, I warned them. I told them a New York audience is like no other audience. They'll never forgive or forget.
Yeah.
And I warned them. I told them that. And I feel bad. I feel very bad for my audience. I feel bad for the audience. So then, of course, your guys, very smart, they came up with this idea, and it filled a great gap. But, of course... not enough yet.
Yeah.
We got to keep on going. As long as I live, I want this music to live.
Now, let me point out, you were first choice for this show. I was like 18th choice, which is fine.
No, that's not true.
I understand that. You were first choice, but you got enough.
I was up there. In fact, the day after this happened, and I was doing all the television stuff and all the newspapers, I was up there talking to Phil and our general manager.
Yeah, they definitely wanted you for the... But then,
and I thought it was great, like Cousin Brucey comes home, or like Lassie come home. And I thought, oh, what a brilliant idea. But then some other stations came after me, and then XM came after me, and Sirius.
And Sirius offered you a great deal to go over there.
Great deal. And I've been watching Sirius for a long time. And listen, broadcast, and I don't like to use the word terrestrial because I think that's very offensive when they use that, and I say that all the time. Radio broadcast, whether it be AM and FM, will always have a part to play in mass media. Always. You know, things change a little bit as, you know, we change. Right? Satellite radio is obviously a thing that is happening, and it's going to take its place.
Yeah.
As will AM and as will FM. It'll never go away. It'll never go away.
So let's say your contract was up and CBS FM said, we got to put the oldies back, and they begged you to come back.
That's a good question. I'll call your station first.
But
I'm hurt. I'm very hurt the way it was done. Yeah, see, the way it was done, Mark, and I'm going to write a book. I'm in the process of writing a new book now. My second or third book down the line is, I'm going to call it right now tentatively, The Day the Music Died Again. Right?
That's a great
one. I'll come to you for some quotes too, because I know you are as emotional and as vehement about what happened as I am.
Yeah.
I lived it, so it's very bad. I'm really hurt, and that's a very good question. You know, Mark, 5 years or so heals a lot.
Yeah, but I think you're right. People don't forgive that he's a radio with a radio audience.
No, when they love something, you become part of a culture and part of the wallpaper, the fabric of a region, of a market. You just don't rip it down, and you can't do that. You know, like I said to him, do it slowly, calm. You know, do it slowly, calm. Think about what you're doing. And I said, you know, Mark, there's an old story, a little fairy tale about a king one day comes to his grand vizier and he says to him, Grand Vizier, why do my people hate me? Why do they all want to throw stones at me? Why do they hate me? And the Grand Vizier, very wisely, said, Your Majesty, have you ever been out in the street to see what they are like and talk to them? He says, of course not. He said, well, Your Majesty, let me dress you as a peasant, and let's take a walk for about 3 days in the streets, and you'll understand. Well, of course, he did it. He came back, and he promoted the Grand Vizier to the Great Grand Vizier, because he realized now, as he went out in the street, he really didn't understand his people. Well, that's what happened over there. You can't go by numbers, Mark. Yeah. Numbers are very good. But, you know, what they're doing is they're going by numbers from 1940. You know, their attitude was, and this is, I've been quoted many times, that by the time you're 49 or 50 years old, you're ready for burial. You know, that you should sit on the porch and watch them dig the grave. Now, that is the stupidest thing. Because the so-called baby boomers are the people in their 50s, 60s, and 70s want to be very, very active today. They want to take part in society. Plus, we, and I'm putting myself in that category, Mark, I know you're much, much younger, right? Because you were only about 3 years old when I started or something. They have a great deal of wealth. There's huge power there. So why overlook them? Should we broadcast to youth? Should young people be served? Should youth be served? Of course. But so should people in their 50s, 60s, and 70s. It ain't 1940 anymore. My dad, Mark, when he was 50 years old, he was an old man.
Yeah.
He was ready to retire. All he wanted to do was reach the R word, retire. Now, to me, the R word is a dirty word. I personally do not like it.
Oh, you're not the type.
But no, I'll never. I mean, I'm going to go down with a microphone. I know that. I'm going to explode with one of my hands as long as I know, as long as I can. And it's wrong. So they did not really look to see what was happening.
Yeah.
Your guys are smart. Phil and the boys there, the general manager, who's a dynamo.
Tim McCarthy.
Oh, yeah. Tim is great. Tim is great. And they know. They understand what's happening. They understand that you have to serve all plateaus, age, demographics, whatever it is, educational levels, economic levels. So they grabbed it. And look at you got. You got a terrific opportunity. I think it's wonderful what you're doing.
You know what's amazing? When you started playing this music on the radio, everybody was screaming, that's crazy, don't play this young music, it's offensive. And now people are screaming, it's too old, don't play it.
You can't win. But you know something? There were a few of us that will go down with it. I'll never give up.
Well, Cousin Brucey, it's great talking to you. Can we do it again sometime?
Oh, absolutely. Let's see now. Am I going to be able to request a record?
Now, what is Cousin Brucey's favorite oldie?
All right. This is good. All right. It's going to have to be between the Beatles and the Everly Brothers, Chuck Berry, Bobby Darin. All right. See, what do I want? You know what? How about Bobby Darin?
Mac the Knife.
You know what? Bobby Darin. And my favorite Bobby Darin song is Dream Lover.
Dream Lover?
Because I was in the Army and I was ready to get a pass and they didn't let me go home. And I was waiting to call home very homesick and crying as a soldier I was. And I was waiting in line to make a telephone call. And on the PA at Fort Dix, Dream Lover came on. So every time I hear that, I get kind of sad.
Well, we'll have to play that for you. And we'll, of course, talk about the telethon in the coming weeks. And
great. I really would appreciate that. And love to your listeners and my listeners. We share them. And if they get a chance, I'm on Sirius Satellite Radio now, and they can check that out. And as I said, I'm having a great time, Mark. And
well,
I'm very happy for you. You keep the fires burning over there, would you?
All right. Well, thanks for being with us, and thanks for all your good words. And we'll talk to you again soon.
Right on.
Bye.
Cousin Brucey. Cousin
Brucey.
Brucey. He's off!
Cousin Brucey.
W-A-B-C. Cousin Brucey.
Cousin Brucey.
Bruce Morrow. Happiness is a thing called
Cousin Brucey.
W-A-B-C.
Those are just the ones we found lying around. There's another 6,000 or so Cousin Brucey jingles. What an amazing guy. Well, coming up, we'll talk to Dan Ingram. He'll be with us about an hour from now. Dan Ingram will be with us later tonight. Now, I think we actually found this recording. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I am about to do something. You know, when I was a young kid starting in radio, idolizing Dan Ingram, idolizing Cousin Brucey, dreaming of being in the same business with them. I never thought it would come to this moment. Guess what I'm about to do? Here's a guy like me who used to call WABC. You know, they didn't really take requests. You had to, like, maneuver your way past that operator and somehow get in the studio. Look what I'm about to do. I am now about to play a request for Cousin Brucey.
Remember this golden classic, Mark Simone. 77 WABC.
Who ever would have thought it's possible that you, Cousin Brucey, would call in with a request? Well, here is his favorite oldie.
Every night I hope and pray a dream lover will come my way.